I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Speaker McCarthy granted us impeachment inquiry, and this is a very important tool in the toolbox. This will help us when we go to court to get some of these bank records. This will help the judge forced the judge to rule quicker. It also trumps executive privilege if the Bidens tried to say that anything that we were trying to get, they couldn't have because of executive privilege. And it also allows us to get things like grand jury testimony. There's a precedence where when Jerry Nadler was leading the impeachment inquiry against Donald Trump, they were requesting information and they said they couldn't hand it over because of it was grand jury testimony.
But that changed. And now it's come back to bite the Democrats in the butt. And you know what? All of this again about the Biden investigation, you know his response to it? He's actually probably thanking the United Auto Workers for going on strike. Once again, drawing attention from the circumstances, the scandal, the investigations around him. In fact, at this moment, he's addressing that issue about the United Auto Workers strike, and I'm sure Lunch Pail Joe is trying to say, I'm with you. But many of the labor workers are not so sure he is. This is the first time in history they've had hit all three automakers at one time. We'll be spending more time on that a little bit later. But again, let's set the stage for the latest on the impeachment inquiry. This is September 15, 2023. And, of course, we are live streaming when we're on the air at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and, of course, on Rumble. If you miss any of those, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull them up. Watch them, listen to them, share them with your friends. You can also subscribe. Simply go to the page, LarryConnorsUSA.com, push subscribe. Everything will be sent to you. No charge, and we don't share your information. So Congressman Comer there was talking about the value of the impeachment inquiry because a lot of folks think it's not accomplishing anything. He just said it's going to open up a lot of doors of things of what we can do. Now, when McCarthy made the announcement the other day, the first thing many were saying, it's all political, it does nothing. It actually does. But let's go back and listen again to Congressman McCarthy, House Speaker, because when he spoke on Monday, September 12th, he said it's not just the allegations and information, it just proves over and over again, your president is lying to you.
House Republicans have uncovered serious and credible allegations into President Biden's conduct. Taken together, these allegations paint a picture of a culture of corruption. Now, here's what we know so far. Through our investigations, we have found that President Biden did lie to the American people about his own knowledge of his family's foreign business dealings. Eyewitnesses have testified that the president joined on multiple phone calls and had multiple interactions, dinners, resulted in cars and millions of dollars into his son's and his son's business partners.
And all of that has been alluded to numerous times. And those who actually serve on the House Oversight Committee or Judiciary Committee, they've seen the documentation. That includes Democrats. Yeah, they've seen it too because they're part of the investigation committees. They're set up that way. Whichever party controls the House sets the committees in motion, gives them their assignments, but you have to allow the opposition to be part of it. Unless you're Nancy Pelosi when they're doing the January 6th inquiry, and she would not allow someone like Congressman Jordan to be on that investigative committee because she said he's too partisan. As if those who were on it, on the Democrat ticket, were not too partisan. It makes no sense. Of course it makes no sense. But it goes by their playbook. So Democrats have also seen the same information, but their lips are sealed. Suddenly, the ones who babble all the time when it had something to do with Trump, they can't find a single word to say other than it's all put up. It's all a smokescreen. So what you get then is the response from the White House, and KJP just this week said again, McCarthy did what he did because he's been threatened by Matt Gaetz and other ultra-conservatives, MAGA, and those who say you better do this or you're going to lose your position.
The only reason Speaker McCarthy is doing this political stunt, and we have seen it, you all have reported, is because Marjorie Taylor Greene has said she threatened to shut down the government. Can you imagine shutting down the government over a political stunt? And we're talking about vital programs that American families need. And she said that because she wanted him to actually do this. And if he didn't, she would shut down the government. And you have Matt Gaetz as well, threatened to oust him as speaker if he didn't do it. So he didn't even put up for a vote, as you all know, because he knows that even his own members weren't going to support this. So, that's why we call it baseless. That's why I just called it baseless. Because they have said themselves that there is no evidence. The evidence does not exist. And this is a political stunt.
Well, there are Republicans in the House, members who serve in the House with an R behind their name, who admit or say in their words, well, we haven't seen the evidence. We don't know. But you're not on the Oversight Committee. You're not on the Judiciary Committee. You're speaking out of no knowledge. And then you got inside the Senate, some other Republicans doing pretty much the same. So they're relying on that. Say, see, this is why there really is no interest. And they would dare shut down the government and your necessities. They're not going to shut down necessities. They may decide we're going to have to drop one day of mail, maybe two, if they have another strike. I mean, a shutdown of the government. So you're bills will get to you a day or two later. I'm sure the companies will understand. Probably not. And there'll be some other things, but it's not going to cripple Americans, as she wants you to believe. And there are many Americans, the last time we had such a shutdown, they realized, we didn't really lose that much, and it makes us question, how much do we need to spend on our government, and how many people do we need to do the job? Essential services will continue. I cannot stress that again. Enough for you. But I would tell you this, Joe Biden is already saying, you know what? They would rather shut the government down while they're busy trying to impeach me. That's the first response Biden has actually made regarding the impeachment proceeding inquiry. Yeah, they would rather shut the government down in the process of impeaching me. No, that's not true, but we do want accountability, and if he were really interested in it, we wouldn't be at this point, because McCarthy had tried repeatedly to meet with his counterpart in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, and the president, and they didn't want to talk to him, because they said, we're only going to talk to you if you give us a clean budget bill. What do they mean by a clean budget bill? You don't have anything in there that we want, and you take out everything we don't want. That would be clean. We would accept that. That's not going to happen. We'll spend more time on that in the second hour. But back to, again, to the impeachment inquiry, and Comer saying it really does give us new authorities, additional authorities, and particularly regarding bank records.
The bank accounts of Hunter Biden and Jim Biden, because we believe, as you've seen the arrows where we show from countries like China, Romania, Russia, Ukraine, there's arrows through these shell companies. Then they end up in 9 different Biden personal bank accounts. We want to look at the personal bank accounts to see if there are any arrows beyond that to pay for things of value for Joe Biden. Then the other thing we want to use, impeachment inquiry, is to force these agencies to turn over correspondence. We've requested all the emails that were in the suit. pseudonyms, and there are 5,400 of those. We know one of which pertained to Ukrainian policy, and Hunter Biden was copied on it. So these are things that we need, and I believe with this new impeachment inquiry designation, we'll be able to get them much quicker.
Now, the bank records they know they've already seen would involve the SARS reports filed by the banks for various companies, some shell companies, involving the Biden family. And the banks themselves were obligated by law to report suspicious activity. It's normally reserved for things like money laundering, stuff like that. Well, this is money laundering, but they're looking at criminal enterprise. Well, this is also criminal enterprise, at least by all the allegations at this point. But actually getting the true and exact bank records of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden in their hands, that's going to open a lot of doors. And one guy that might be a key to it has been the advisor to Biden ever since he was vice president, taking care of his personal finances, overlooking everything. This guy, CPA trained, everything else, a friend of the Bidens. Do you think he'll go to jail for Biden just to be that good of a friend? I wouldn't think so. All right, the other point being is that while the White House wants you to believe there's nothing to be seen here, and some Republicans are joining and sharing that view with them because they haven't really seen anything, you have to also take into account someone who has been watching over some of it, Florida Congressman Aaron Bean.
Taking money from a foreign adversary like Communist China, Burisma, Ukraine, taking money and doing their work, turns out that's a high crime and misdemeanor. So that's what we want to do. We want to focus our efforts to see what's really here. I can tell you this. I can tell you they have stonewalled each and every turn, have denied everything until that dot is connected and they go, oh, and they try to explain it. So come clean, Biden family. Show us your records. If there's nothing to see here, but you just saw the president's press secretary blow up when people have legitimate questions of why the president has suddenly has become a multi-millionaire being on a government salary.
Oh, that's just routine lately in D.C. Ask Pelosi. Oh, that's right. Her husband has a lot of money. Ask Dianne Feinstein. Oh, yeah, she also had. So, but there are a lot of people that come out of D.C. a lot richer than what they went in when they were still serving, quote, the American people. There is some evidence, and I will say clear evidence, we're going to see inside the records at some point, including the personal accounts of each. And, of course, the IRS and FBI whistleblowers are added evidence. Now, while that is underway, Special Counsel Weiss suddenly decided to push to do something about Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden indicted on three federal gun charges. The first son faces up to 25 years in jail. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer says this is a very small start.
One of about a dozen crimes that Hunter Biden's committed. And ironically, that's the one crime that he committed that you cannot tie Joe Biden into. So we'll see what happens with the other 11 or so crimes that the president's son's committed.
So, in the midst of everything, is there real value in the charges issued against Hunter Biden at this point? There are currently hundreds, maybe thousands, jailed currently or who have been jailed for lying on Form 4473, the same one he's charged with lying on. But in the scheme of all things Hunter Biden, what's the reaction from a former FBI agent when it comes to looking at what the Hunter Biden investigation is really going to show? Nicole Parker, being a former FBI agent, pointing out that she's been on duty for a long time, and she has seen numerous cases filed, numerous forms of this type that are filed, and yet there never seems to be anything that they really press unless they put it in conjunction with something else. So she is saying possibly in her view, in her words, that this really is kind of the thing that, well, it's making a lot of nothing in many ways.
If we walk through each of the counts, the first count that he was charged with basically says that he deceived an FFL, a federal firearms licensee. So in filling out that form, they were deceived. Count number two would be the actual lying on the form. And in this instance, the form now is referred to question 21G, the drug user question. Now the form is different. Back in 2018, when he purchased the firearm, it was a different form. But right now, it's question 21G. So for the viewers to understand exactly what they're looking at, he's getting charged. The first two counts are really for lying on a form. This is probably the most simplistic charge that you could bring on to anybody. And this is from 2018. We are now in 2023. Why did it take 5 years or several years for this to take place? Let me also tell you that the statute of limitations is about to expire on these charges. And then count three is basically an illegal drug user in possession of a firearm. These are extremely basic charges, and the statute of limitation is about to expire in October. I'm sorry, it's not a coincidence is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It is not a coincidence. Again, that's Nicole Parker, former FBI agent. So you take everything she said as to what form 4473 involves and the allegations, which could have been filed 5 years ago if you're going to do anything about it. They were not until they got caught with it. The laptop from hell identified it happening. But when you again look at the entire Hunter Biden connection and scheme and what they're now trying to, here's what they're trying to do, my friend. They're holding up fool's gold and telling you this is something serious. We will deal with it.
As a former agent, I would refer to this as something like Operation Saving Face. I feel like DOJ's hand was forced, and that was because of the whistleblowers coming forward, because of the judge who reviewed the plea agreement and the plea deal and said, no, this is not going to pass. And they had to go back to the drawing board, and here we are with a gun charge indictment. As a former agent, I can tell you I work violent crime, and obviously I haven't charged every statute out there, not even close, but I have never charged this charge before, and having worked with many ATF agents as well, they charge things for lying on the, it's the ATF form that you have to fill out in order to purchase a firearm.
In other words, there's a reason to charge it, but when you've got a convict or someone you're charging with numerous other counts, this is kind of one of the throwaway things. You might actually introduce it as a charge and then willing to take it off the table as a bargaining chip. But what she's pointing out right now, it's, again, a distraction. That's all it is. You know it. I know it. And they know we know it. They hope we don't, but we know. Coming up in the next hour, again, the more examples of how the Biden White House is lying. And while he's doing it this time, the terrorists are laughing. This is all involving Biden releasing $6 billion to Iran. Now, they'll make a big deal, say it's not taxpayer dollars. They're going to make you feel better, safer. I doubt it. And before this hour is over, Congressman verbally attacking a Biden supporter who believes open borders are good for our nation. Texas Congressman Chip Roy eats him up. Glad to have you with us, of course, and remind you, lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Unions raise workers' wages, they said, incomes, increase home ownership, increase retirement savings, increase access to critical benefits like sick leave and child care, and reduce inequality, all of which strengthen our economy for all workers. That's because unions raise standards across the workplaces and entire industries, pushing up wages and strengthening benefits for everyone. That's why strong unions are critical to a growing economy. And growing from the middle out, the bottom up, not the top down. That's especially true as we transition to a clean energy future, which we're in the process of doing. I believe that transition should be fair and a win-win for auto workers and auto companies. But I also believe the contract agreement must lead to a vibrant, made-in-America future that promotes good, strong, middle-class jobs that workers can raise a family on.
So what he's doing is walking the fence. He's not taking a side one way or the other. That's Joe Biden on the current United Auto Workers strike. I point out to you again, they are now on strike against all of the Detroit Big Three automakers for the first time in the UAW history. They're hitting General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis at this point. And the UAW president had said last night, we're going out on midnight. We all need to go out. We will. Everything is on the table. That means about 150,000 American auto workers represented by the UAW. So Joe has to come forward and say something. And in what he said, did you catch the green energy plan? They threw a lot of United Auto Workers out of a job when they shut down plants that were producing gas vehicles. Now, they may try to bring them back into the others, or they may not. But his whole pitch, as you were listening then, about how great your labor unions are, let me make note of this. While he was, and this is according to CNN's write-up, which I really love the way they did it, they point out he gives a strong statement of support for the striking workers, but he stops short of explicitly endorsing the strike. For any president, it's a delicate balance. Of course, he could always enact the Taft-Hartley Act, which is the biggest stick you could use in labor relations, and that is order them back to work. But we're way too early in that for that to happen, and we may never get there. But even CNN points out over the last several weeks, the president started walking a very fine line over regulations between automakers and the American companies. Keep in mind, some of these new pressures and costs the automakers are facing are because of Joe Biden and the Green Pie in the Sky plan. And some of the suffering on the other side of the fence with the auto workers is the same that you're facing. Bidenomics, not doing so well. But again, Biden was saying, I do appreciate the parties have been working around the clock. When I first called them on the first day of negotiation, I said, please stay at the table as long as you can try to work this out. Those were his comments today from the Roosevelt Room in the White House. He said, I believe they should go further to ensure record profits mean record contracts for the UAW. Now, if you're going to buy that argument, does that mean lost profits for the automakers should be lost profits for the workers? They're never going to go with that. But that was, even as it's noted by CNN and NN, as explicit an endorsement of the auto workers' negotiating position as Biden has taken so far in the talks. I see my phrase "so far" is now being used by CNN and NN. Maybe I need to drop it, but I haven't so far. So on one side, Biden has to face the opposition with these workers who's claimed that he's, all these years he's claimed, I'm just like you, I'm Lunch Pail Joe. Man's never carried a lunch pail in his life, except maybe at a grade school with a Roy Rogers picture on his lunch pail. I know because I had one like that. But he's never had a blue-collar level worker, unless you're going to count the time as a lifeguard, which he sat there at the side of the pool so the kids could stroke his legs. It's so easy to get into rabbit holes when you're talking about Joe Biden. I would apologize, but I'm not going to. So anyway, he's trying to do that, and at the same time, more and higher prices on vehicles because they want by 2030 everything coming off the line to be electric. That's not going to happen. I'll tell you that now. It's not going to happen. But if it does, they're going to be so outpriced, who can afford them? Not even the auto workers will be able to buy the cars they're making. A lot of them can't now anyway. And the price is going to keep going up. And they'll go to more automation, which will mean fewer workers yet, which is understandable. I mean, for the time Henry Ford invented the assembly line, they started looking at ways, how do we make it better? And when it became apparent that, well, we could have some robots do this part of it, well, they want a job or two. That's not uncommon in any business. We all know that. You have to recognize it. I remember distinctly when I arrived in St. Louis TV market a few decades ago. I think the Conestoga wagon came to a stop, and I jumped off. Then they started a TV station. That's my memory, best I can recall. But when it came to walking into the studio, let me paint this picture for you. Of course, you have the anchor desk. And to get to the anchor desk, you walk past three different cameras, all manned by three different camera operators. And you walk past the teleprompter operator, another employee. You got four employees on the floor. Station I was working at decided to become one of the first in the nation to start trying robotic cameras, which they could be pre-programmed to move to a certain spot. This is very much akin to the vacuum cleaner you can buy now and let it go all around your house, bump into a thing, it'll back off, it'll figure its way around. So they had to have one guy remain on the floor to make sure if the camera didn't get to the right position, he could manually override. Then it reached a point where it was pretty routine. And then, of course, they reached a point, did we really need a teleprompter operator? Hey, if it's not written in front of me, I don't remember what the word is. Help me out here. And they said, you know what we'll do? We'll give little rheostats, little controls to the anchors, and they can roll their own prompter, just turning a little knob, and hopefully they didn't slide too far past. It's always looking for a way to eliminate. And I'd always said, you remember the TV show Max Headroom, where there was an automated type of digital news anchor that gave the news? Some of you might recall that. I'd also told one of my co-anchors I worked with for several years, you know, they could take us and reuse us in future newscasts 40, 60 years down the road. We won't look any different. They'll just change out which suit we're wearing on a particular day, but every word in the English language we've said at one point or another, or they could have someone mimic one in real quick, or we did not have a particular name, we could be on the air forever, ever and ever, assuming people would be interested. And as long as the money was going to my kids, I'd be all for it. This strike right now, 150,000 workers, it's going to begin to take effect, I mean, as far as the ripple effect, pretty quickly. Because these families all, for the most part, try to set aside money for such an event like this, as all of us should for any sudden job loss. But the way the economy has been going, Biden made a point at today's address to brag about how good the economy is. These workers are not agreeing with that. They're all saying we're not getting what we should get. I'm looking at a piece written by Breitbart. I read to you from CNN, so let me share something from Breitbart. Their senior editor said, while automakers are seeing their wages slashed due to the EV, the electric vehicle adoption, Big Three executives have enjoyed a windfall thanks to the EV tax credits in Biden's Inflation Comedy Act. Well, I'm sorry, I always thought it. Inflation Reduction Act, they call it. The automakers see that. Hey, we're getting less money. Some of us are losing our jobs. You guys are getting benefits from the government helping you do all of this stuff. Where's Joe Biden in that? He doesn't want to get in that argument. He just wants to stand up there and say, I'm with you. And then he can go into a board meeting with the three execs, invite them to the White House and say, guys, we're going to get to these electric vehicles one way or the other. Auto workers are smarter than Joe Biden gives them credit for. Union workers in general are smarter than what he gives them credit for. There are times, and I will say this, and I have said it before, that unions overstep and they get a little too aggressive, too greedy. But sometimes it's not even the union, it's a union boss and chiefs, because they're the ones who get to hobnob with the president and they get to go to these big deals and they endorse and put money from the automaker paying the dues into what they want it to go to. And so you can put a stop to it. And in some cases they have, in other cases they just have to go along to get along. I'm looking at some of the ladies coming across, and I don't see anything here that's indicating that we're going to see this wrapped up immediately. It could all be brought to a halt by Monday. Certainly could. But I think for right now I wouldn't hold my breath on it. They're too far apart, too far apart. And you know the way negotiations work. If you're in charge of the negotiations, it works by you stand still, they come to you. And the closer they get, you take a step back. And both sides know how to play that game. All right, coming up, the damage this nation is suffering. And this also involves wages for people. And that's the illegal immigration, open border issue. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.Homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.Homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Mr. Norasta, where are those 1.6 million gotaways? They are most likely at different places in the United States.
Who are they?
Working and living.
Who are they?
Well, there are probably people from different countries around the world.
Probably. People from all around the world.
They are from different countries around the world, yes, sir.
Yeah. How many different countries?
Well, if the data that we have about those who are apprehended is any indication, a large number of countries, probably about
162 of them from all over the world?
Probably, yes, sir.
Right. You willing to bet your family's life, my family's life, on the safety of in our country, irrespective of who these individuals are when you don't even know who they are?
Yes, sir. The chance of dying from a foreign-born terrorist attack since 1975 is 1 in 4.4 million per year.
Mr. Naresta, I'm sure that is great comfort to the families of the people from 9/11. Because when you sit here and testify that zero people have committed a terrorist attack from crossing our border, I'm sure that is comfort to the people who had terrorist attacks committed by people who came here and overstayed their visas.
Wow. Good point, Congressman Chip Roy. The witness, he was terrifying, although the guy was trying his best to maintain his calm, is with the Cato Institute. Now, that's considered to be a liberal think tank in D.C., and the person being questioned is Narwashtith, I think that's pronunciation, an advocate of freer migration to the U.S. He's all big about pushing we need more free immigration. That's why he's quick to say, you know, if the government would just step forward and come up with a better plan, we wouldn't have to deal with illegals this way. In other words, open the border more. That's what he's after. That's what all of these libs are after. That's Alex Norrest, I think is the correct pronunciation, with the Cato Institute. And he admits, we don't really know where they are. They're here. They're there. Well, we've already told you repeatedly, even the Department of Homeland Security has admitted, they have admitted that out of 170,000, they don't know where they are. Now, who would they be? Could they be just some guy that's just looking for a job? If I can just have a job as a dishwasher to help me get started, maybe. Could there be somebody say, I'll take the dishwashing job, but in the nighttime I meet with my friends and we plot how to destroy America from inside? I don't want you to be to the point where you're fearful or even angry at illegals who are in the country, in the sense that you might think they might be a terrorist, because we don't know. Many of them are like the original immigrants that came to this country. They just wanted to improve their lives. But they came legally. And they went through the Ellis Island checkpoints and health checks. Some were sent back because of their health. And others were allowed to come in. And then you had the distinction between the Poles and the Jews and the Norwegian. I mean, they all took off to their own separate enclaves until gradually we became a melting pot. That's why when you go to New York City or any major city, you're going to find a Chinatown. You're going to find a German area, a Bosnian area, Bosnian in particular for the St. Louis area. African culture, it's all part of our heritage now. I think it's a good thing for this kind of exposure. But they came legally. That is always the main point. And Congressman Chip Roy is pointing out that you guys don't even know where they are, and I keep seeing them coming across, and you're not doing anything even if they overstay their visa. You just don't do anything. I'll tell you how bad it's gotten. The Democrat governor of Boston, Massachusetts, Healey, had to issue an order activating something like 250 National Guard members trying to provide basic services at emergency shelter hotels because they don't really have a contract to provide any services, so they're trying their best to put something together. They've launched the regional rapid response teams to assist with overseeing shelter sites, serving as a direct contact to the administration to address any concerns. And they've got concerns, believe me. There are currently more than 6,000 families in that state, including children and pregnant women in emergency shelters all across the state. And she says, our state is in a state of emergency. We need all hands on deck to meet this moment. Therefore, I thank the National Guard for stepping up to help us. They didn't step up. You ordered them to step up. And you did that because you said you're a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state. We welcome you until they say, shut the door. Shut the door. Or as New York City Mayor Adams saying, they're going to destroy our city. You're going to put them on buses to other New York State cities till they send them back. And they don't get, and of course, Biden's latest proposal is maybe we'll make everybody stay in Texas before they can move farther into the interior. That's not going to fly either. At what point are they going to realize this has been a stupid idea from the get-go? A stupid idea. They won't. They're just going to continue pushing blindly forward and just. As long as it's not affecting them. But now it's beginning to affect liberals like Adams in New York, Hochul of New York, Governor Healey of Massachusetts, and the citizens of Boston and elsewhere. They're all worried about this. But if you're going to expect to find the libs at any point saying they're wrong, well, here's Congressman Chip Roy with that issue again.
It is very much relevant that a little girl's getting raped in a stash house because of the policies of you and radical leftists who don't give a damn about it, because it is more politically expedient for you to saddle up to the Libertarian Cato Institute or a bunch of radical leftists and talk about, oh, how important it is for people to free flow across borders.
I have talked about the chaos repeatedly, sir. The way to reduce the chaos is through legalization and liberalization,
right?
Not cracking down right. More.
Will,
if you cared about the border chaos, that is the way to do it.
Perpetuate the lawlessness, and you know it.
It would perpetuate lawlessness. And he, what was the word he used? He used the L word, didn't he? His witness. If we would liberally do, see, we're not going to do that. We're going to fight against it every step of the way. And you've got Democrats that are now beginning to do it, although very carefully, because they don't be, you know, ousted and called out by the woke culture. Are you homophobic? Are you anti-brown? Are you anti-black? Are you anti-illegal migrant? Nah. See, they'll hit you with that. One of the other witnesses is talking about we're seeing more and more terrorists, true terrorists, that are coming across the border. We know that because they have links to one of the Colombian cartel groups that is known for terrorism in Colombia.
One of the most disturbing aspects of the border crisis has been the recent development of FARC-related terror watch-listed suspects crossing that border. Those are people who have spent years and years involved in murder, kidnapping, drug trafficking, extortion, bombings. They are experts in weaponry. These are people who the United States absolutely would never countenance coming across the border or never provide a visa for, certainly. The fact that FARC members, former of the delisted faction, but also there are two FARC factions that are still listed, that those people would cross our border and come into this United States is anathema to all of our homeland security values, a terrible development that we should pay a lot of attention to, because a lot of Colombians are coming across.
A lot of Colombians, and in the midst would be the terrorists that belong to that Revolutionary Army. Question here for you. Regardless of your political stripes, do you really want the truth about anything and everything that Donald Trump is accused of doing? Second question, same question, different name. Regardless of your political stripes, do you really, really want the truth about anything and everything Joe Biden is suspected of doing?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 and St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The American people deserve to know that the public offices are not for sale, and that the federal government is not being used to cover up the actions of a politically associated family. Now, I would encourage the president and his team to fully cooperate with this investigation in the interests of transparency. We are committed to getting the answers for the American public. Nothing more, nothing less. We will go wherever the evidence takes us.
We will go wherever the evidence takes us. Now, I asked you the question about would you really truly want all facts, regardless of your political stripes, on anything Biden has done wrong, anything Trump has done wrong? I'm not talking about political rhetoric. I'm talking about facts. You want to be an honest American? You'd say, yes, give it all to me. We're not going to hide some because of a political party, and we're not going to emphasize one because it's a political party. The world is apparently soon going to be hearing from Trump, his kids, and his bankers, the New York Attorney General laying out witnesses in his case. The Daily Beast reporting on this, saying the New York Attorney General plans to have her lawyers grill former President Donald Trump, his oldest three children, because he made them Trump Organization executives, and many of his loyal bankers at his upcoming business fraud trial. 57 people on this, all buried in appellate court filings. New York Attorney General Letitia James' office seeking to obliterate the real estate tycoon, as it's written here, and the powerful former president's corporate empire, squeezing it dry, reporting that there's a pattern of persistent and repeated business fraud. I could take the same wording and put Joe Biden's name and Hunter Biden's name in there. Would you accept it? Are you pausing because some of you are Biden supporters and you don't want to accept that kind of... Why would you go after Hunter and the bankers? You're just trying to make something against Joe, and in this case, Trump is the one charged. Trump is charged, but Joe's also suspected. So you really should do that as well equally, should you not? Now, see, there's where you begin to tell me if you're really going to be true and honest. That's what we try to present here for you. I'll present both sides. I'll try to give equal weight to both sides, and I'll give you an opinion. In my opinion, both sides should be as deeply investigated as Letitia James wants to do with Trump and his sons because they were part of a business deal, and Joe Biden should be investigated because he was part of the Hunter Biden business deal. Are you willing to accept that? Let me share something quickly from a New York University professor, Scott Galloway. He labels himself as right of center left. This is something he wrote on a blog piece. He said, for decades, America has predicted arrogancy and repeatedly the imminent fall of a nation. The doomed nation, according to the Americans, America. In the 1980s, we decided Japan was doing to us economically what they couldn't militarily do four decades before. He said, in our early thoughts, soft tissue was geopolitical. Then we had 9/11 described as an inevitable outcome of what we were doing around the world. Today, the decline is supposedly more imminent. And he makes a point of saying January 6 was the beginning of the end. As I said, he identifies himself as right of center left. And he said the Russian invasion revealing a great unwinding. Nations view us with pity. We are on the brink of collapse. And just last week, the New York Times opinion page compared us to Rome again. He said, these headlines are clickbait. We still take the bait. Three quarters of Americans believe our country is in structural decline. Do you believe that? He said, many believe we're in the midst of de-dollarization, meaning our status as the world's reserve currency is going to go away. And then he adds this. Culturally, you could build a compelling case. National pride is at an all-time low. And the vibe in America is that things are not good. And he adds, this is an economic discussion. A lot of it comes down to what they say, dinner table politics. And dinner table politics includes, what can we have for dinner? What can we afford for dinner? And so to that extent, many say, we're in decline because Bidenomics is destroying the economy. Then you also have the fear that woke culture is destroying our morals and what we stand for. And that raises the question, what do we stand for anymore? And you know the saying, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Is that where we're headed? Is that where we are now? I like to think not. But I also recognize the reality is that too many people are just giving up. I don't know how many people of various ages are saying, I don't even know why I would bother voting again. What difference is it going to make? My vote will either not be counted or the vote will be thrown out. Do not take that opinion, my friend. Get in there and fight every step of the way for your rights, our nation's rights. And obviously, keep in mind your children and grandchildren. How do you want them to live? Better than you, I would imagine, right? We're going to get into where we are with the economy coming up. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.